want to begin a four-part series. And the title of the series is The Road to Resurrection. We have 4 weeks until Easter. And I want us to prepare our hearts with some of the key statements that Jesus made while he was hanging on the cross. Now, he was crucified around 9 a.m. He hung on the cross, and at noon, the skies became dark. Darkness covered the earth till 3 p.m., and he died. He gave up his spirit at 3 p.m. Now, during that six-hour period, there are seven sayings or phrases or words that Jesus spoke that are recorded in the scriptures. And so what we're going to do over the next 4 weeks is look at some of the words of Christ as he hung on the cross, what he spoke to us. I remember back in 2016 when my mother was in Mercy Hospital in Iowa. She had a pre-existing aneurysm. She had a heart attack, a mild one, and it enlarged it. She elected not to have any surgery, and her time would be short until it basically the aneurysm broke. And we were gathered together in the hospital, and we had Saturday and Sunday together as a family. It was God's gift to us. And I remember some of the conversations we had. Because when you know you're dying, you're very focused. You know what's important, and you address that. And there were four words that she spoke to her three kids as we were gathered around the bed and just talking. She says this: be kind to people. And those are four words that are planted in my heart because it was my mother's declaration in the last day or two of her life to say, you know what? Whatever you do, be kind to people. Jesus is hanging on a cross, and there are certain words that are recorded in the scripture that I want us to look at today. Our topic is forgiveness. And so I'll have Darlene put the next slide up. Very good. Jesus' final words, there's one about forgiveness. So I'd like for us to read together the scripture passage in your notes as let's read them together. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Get the picture. There's a mob assembled around Jesus. He's in the center cross, a criminal on each side, and they have just all three been crucified. Jesus is hanging on the cross in pain, and out of his mouth, he proactively says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." Now, I hope that when you leave here today, you have a new insight into the Heavenly Father's priority of getting forgiveness into your life. That's the big goal. In your notes, the big idea. It's this: Jesus revealed the heart of God by speaking of radical forgiveness before repentance is even asked for. Let me explain that. Jesus is among a hostile crowd who's delighting in crucifying him. People are not apologetic. They are simply outright mean, and they're going to put him to death. And in the middle of this, Jesus himself makes a declaration. He says, "Father in heaven, forgive these people, for they do not know what they're doing." Nobody in the crowd was asking for forgiveness or repentance. They were literally putting him to death, but he makes this incredible statement, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." When people come against me and I get either upset or react or mad, the last thing in my mind is forgiveness. I'm thinking retaliation, or I'm trying to just hold it in place. But Jesus, in the middle of this traumatic, painful death experience, he literally says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Here's the point. God wants his people, you and me, to experience forgiveness. It's a high priority. It's way at the top. He wants you to know that you're at peace with him, you have forgiven others, and you're at peace with yourself. Let me give you a definition of the word forgive. It means to send away, to release, to lay aside. Let me stop here. The sins in your life and mine, God the Father wants to send them away. He wants you to feel released from them and to lay them aside. He wants you to be set free. You know why? On the cross, last day of his life, when he was being cruelly treated, he makes this bold proclamation, "Father, I want my people to know forgiveness." So what I want to do today is share with you three simple thoughts about forgiveness. And by the time you leave here, I hope you have a fresh insight that God wants to drop forgiveness into your life in a new way or in a deeper way for us to experience freedom. Okay, in your notes. Number one, the first thing about forgiveness is this. Forgiveness is Jesus' first response, not a last resort. It's his first response. Read with me again the verse under point number one. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." In other words, even though the people in the crowd were against him, he still wanted them, and he wants us, to experience forgiveness to the full. Now, in your notes, and we'll go to the next slide, I've got a list of things you can fill in the blanks. Let's walk through them. Number one, Jesus is actively suffering. I mean, he's on the cross for 6 hours, being beaten and treated cruelly. The second one, the nails are in his hands and feet. In other words, when someone is crucified, they say they usually die by suffocation because they can push themselves up with their legs. There's a little pad that their feet are on, and they push themselves up to take a breath, and then they go back down. But suffocation is usually how a crucified person dies. Third one, the crowds are mocking him. Number four, justice is being denied. This is unfair. If you've ever been in an unfair situation, chances are you weren't thinking about forgiving the person on the spot. Wouldn't be me. But Jesus is there. Justice is being denied. Another one, there's no mention of revenge. Anywhere in this story, you do not see Jesus wanting to get revenge over the people that are crucifying him. And lastly, there's not a hint of condemnation. In other words, he has a message of mercy and grace in the midst of the battle where he's about to lose his life. Friends, God wants to gift you with forgiveness in such a way that it sets your life free to become a better person. So we find here in Romans 5:8, it says, "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So even when we were at our worst and Jesus is being crucified, he said, "You know what? Father, I want my people to experience forgiveness." And he knew that his sacrifice would make that possible. Read with the 1 John 1:9 in your notes. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Circle the word confess. Here's what it means. It means to agree with. In other words, when we come into agreement with God that we have missed the mark, we are admitting and acknowledging, coming clean before Him, that we've messed up. The word forgive, circle that. It means to send away or to be released of our sins. Now, a few years back, we did a 40 days of prayer. Rick Warren, it was a package, it was a study we had, and I don't know if you, some of you probably remember that, but this was a verse that he included in it. And you know what he said? When we confess to God, He will forgive instantaneously. Now, some of us hang on to things for years, do we not? We wonder if God has forgiven us, but if we confess it, God will forgive people instantaneously. We turn from it, we repent, we're sorry for it. We say, God, I need to get up to date with you, and He will do it instantaneously. I've got a question for you. I want you to think of your worst mistake. That'll take just a few seconds. And I want you to think about this. I want you to practice something. You've confessed it to God hundreds of times, more than likely. You're sorry for it. Can you believe He would forgive you instantaneously? But it hangs on. The second question is, can you forgive yourself instantaneously? It may take some time to work through it, but the point is, the grace of God, Jesus' proclamation on the cross, dying, hostile cry, crowd, says this, you know what, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. God is ready, willing to extend forgiveness to people who repent, who turn from their sins, and literally set them free, to lay them aside, to be released of them, to somehow find a new level of victory. So number one, understand, Jesus' first response was forgiveness. It wasn't a last resort. He wants us to experience that. The Father's heart has been revealed. All right, number two. The second truth about forgiveness, let me back up. I forgot a slide. The moment you ask God for forgiveness, He forgave you. Now do your part and leave the guilt behind. I want you to soak that in. God will forgive you, but we have to let go of the guilt and let it behind, leave it behind. And so we find here the teaching that God wants His children to experience that. Number two, forgiveness is meant to be a way of life for God's children. Read with me Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. The first forgiveness we need to find is vertical, that's with God. But then there's forgiveness, what we call horizontally. This is with other people. And the principle is, we need to learn to be forgiving to other people. You may be here today, and you have something clogging your spirit. It's an offense that somebody did to you this past week, or maybe 10 or 15 years ago. It's a deep hurt. And so this whole thing about forgiving other people is huge, because here's what it does. It sets the heart free when we forgive other people horizontally. Now, Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how often should I forgive? Seven times? And Jesus said, I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. There's a principle of life here that you and I are called upon to live out what Jesus modeled. And what He modeled on the cross, the last day of His life, in the midst of a painful crucifixion, He said, Father, forgiveness is important to You, and I want My people to experience it. In your notes, here's the quote. Unforgiveness keeps us bound to the past, while forgiveness opens the door to a new life. I want you to check your heart this morning. Do you have any unforgiveness horizontally with other people? Could be recent or could be many years ago. But you know what? Jesus modeled it for us. He says, I'm going to forgive you for what you've done. You and I must forgive people for what they've done to us. Here's a couple quotes. To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. In other words, think about what God has forgiven you from as you think about what you can need to forgive other people for. Here's another one. When a deep injury is done to us, we never recover until we forgive. You may be here today and have a deep hurt from the past, and you're still wrestling with it. It's human nature. But understand that at the very core and the root of getting free of something in your past is this something called forgiveness toward other people. It doesn't condone what they did, but it does set your heart free from being entangled and clogged and plugged. Here's another quote. Forgiving yourself and others gives your spirit freedom. When Jesus hung on the cross, he knew mankind was in bondage in different ways. And his gift to us, if we're open to receive it, is first vertical forgiveness to set us free and be released from our own sins, but then also to forgive other people for what they've done or offended us by. Here's another angle to it. Maybe your anger isn't towards somebody else, but it's toward yourself. You may be here today and you're holding something against yourself. It's called anger. It's called a regret. It's called a sense of remorse that you just can't get free from. And you've never truly forgiven yourself. You know what? The call of God to forgive, receive from him, forgive other people, it also includes forgiving yourself of something in your life that happened 20 years ago. He's calling you today to exercise that empowered decision to find freedom in your own life. All right, number three. Third truth about forgiveness is this. Forgiveness begins when we name what we've been carrying. Read with me Hebrews 12:15 in your notes. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. I want to talk about what a bitter root can do. Our sins can become a bitter root towards God that separates us. A bitter root can take root from another person horizontally. We can even have a bitter root toward ourselves. And the writer here says, see to it that nobody misses the grace of God, because the grace of God can empower us to find forgiveness from God, find strength to forgive other people, and to forgive ourselves. We got to name it. What is it? Is it anger? Is it bitterness? Is it revenge? Is it retaliation? And when we do that, it's the beginning of finding healing. So here's a couple quotes. Came across this yesterday, I thought it was good. The ultimate act of forgiveness is when you are able to forgive yourself for all the hurts that you created in your own life. I thought that was pretty good. You know what dogs you the most? I know it. Same thing that dogs me. The pain I've created myself. That's the hardest thing to do. But when we get there, let me tell you, the grace of God's got it covered. Jesus is willing to forgive us. We forgive others. We forgive ourselves. And one of the toughest things is the last one, forgiving ourselves. Final slide, here it is. Forget the mistake, remember the lesson. Now, we're going to close with the word of prayer. And I want you to leave some stuff behind today. And we're going to start, I'm going to walk us through just three simple areas of forgiveness from God and forgiving others and forgiving yourself. But the best way to look at it is if Christ makes a declaration of forgiveness when people are crucifying him, that is the true heart of the Father. And he wants you and me to experience it when we just come clean, we confess, we repent, we say, God, I messed up, here it is. He will forgive us and cleanse us so we can be set free. All right, please bow your heads with me. You may be here today and you've never asked Christ into your life. Or maybe you need to get up to date and recommit yourself to him. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. You can pray it silently after me. Father in heaven, thank you that you love me. And forgiveness of all my sins is a high priority to you. I confess I need you. Forgive me of all I've done wrong. I repent. I turn from them. I leave them behind. I believe that Jesus died and rose again, and he's alive forevermore. Right now, by faith, I open the door of my heart, and I invite Jesus Christ into my life, or I recommit my life to him. May he be my Savior and my Lord from this moment forward. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Did anybody ask Christ into their life for the first time? Anybody? Put your hand up and put it down. Anybody here? Thank you. Anybody else? Father, we now think about other people. And I pray you'll help each of us to do a scan of our hearts under the leadership of the Holy Spirit as to whether there's anything plugging our spirits because of unforgiveness towards someone else. And Lord, there's some people here today that need to tackle the root of resentment towards somebody else. And I pray that you will help them to make a decision to forgive just because you've modeled that for us. You want us to experience it. And that in their hearts, in this very moment, they will forgive the other person because you have forgiven them. If that's you today, just let God's Spirit help you in that area. And lastly, there's people here today that have been angry with themselves for years. Whether it's resentment, whether it's regret, whatever you call it, you name it. And God is saying today, he wants you to forgive yourself through his grace. He's calling you to forget the mistake, to remember the lesson, but to let it go, to release yourself from your own imprisonment. So take just a few moments right now. If you're here and you say, God, help me to forgive me. Help me to release it. It's all on grace. It's not because we deserve it, but because he's forgiven us. We forgive other people. God calls us to have a clean heart and to forgive ourselves. Do that right now. Father, in these moments, we're having an encounter with the living God. And I pray for every person here that they will leave behind the mistake and the guilt, the resentment, the anger. Today, this moment, they release it. And they choose to forgive someone else, to forgive themselves. But Lord, most of all, they'll receive forgiveness from you. Make us a free people on the inside because of what Jesus died for us to experience. It's in his name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask the group to come on up for the closing song. Song we've sung before, Never Be the Same Again. I'll ask you to stand as we sing.